Okay, what if I told you that you could give yourself a $20,000 raise without asking your boss for a single dime?
It sounds a little like a scam, right?
Totally. Like I'm about to sell you a course on crypto mining or something.
A late night infomercial
Yeah,
pitch?
but it's not. It's just geography.
Yeah.
We spend so much time obsessing over the number on our paycheck, trying to get that 3% bump or that bonus. But we rarely stop to think about the denominator. We don't think about what that money is actually worth right where we're standing.
That's the silent tax of location, or if you're smart about it, the silent bonus.
Exactly. And that is what we are unpacking today. We're doing a deep dive into the geography of value.
We've got a ton of data to get through.
We do. We've got the brand new COI Annual 2025. That's the Cost of Living Index, which just came out in January 2026 from C2ER.
And we're also layering in some really interesting analysis on what they call strategic sweet spots from the Sandoval Economic
Right,
Alliance.
because raw numbers are great, but you need to know what to actually do with them.
For sure.
So the mission today is pretty simple. We're going to give you a decoder ring for your salary. Whether you're thinking about moving or asking for a raise or just trying to figure out why you feel broke despite making decent money. This is the math you need.
We're going to move past the sticker price and really look at purchasing power because a dollar in Manhattan is just not the same currency as a dollar in, say, Decatur, Illinois.
Okay, so before we get to the Hall of Fame and maybe the Hall of Shame of expensive cities, we have to talk about the yardstick.
The methodology.
Yeah, I was flipping through the report, and I have to be honest, I'm a little confused. How do they actually, come up with these numbers? Is this just another inflation report?
No, and I'm really glad you asked that because it's the single most common misconception.
Right.
This is not the Consumer Price Index, the CPI. CPI measures inflation, so how much prices have gone up over time. The COI, this index, measures relative price
So
levels.
it's a snapshot.
It's a snapshot, exactly. It freezes time, in this case, the year 2025, and it just compares costs across different urban areas.
And the average is always 100.
The average of all participating places is always set at 100.0. So if a city is at 120, it's 20% more expensive than average. If it's 90, it's 10% cheaper.
Got it. It's like a direct apples to apples comparison.
Precisely.
Okay, but who is this apple for? I mean, when I look at how they weigh things, it doesn't feel like it's built for, a struggling college student.
It is definitely not. The index is explicitly based on the spending patterns of professional and executive households.
Oh,
We're talking about the top income quintile.
so the boss's budget, not the intern's.
Think of it this way. If the price of instant ramen doubles, a college student panics. An executive, they probably don't even notice.
Right.
But if the cost of private school tuition or a four-bedroom home spikes, the executive feels that. This index tracks the executive's panic points.
Which would explain why home ownership is weighted so heavily. I'm looking at the breakdown. Housing is nearly 30% of the entire index.
Correct. 29.53%, to be exact. It's the single biggest driver.
Okay, but can we talk about the basket of goods?
Please.
Because to get these numbers, they send researchers out to price check specific items. And I was skimming the list. Is this stuff for real?
It is very real.
I'm looking at item 40, grated Parmesan cheese. But not just any cheese, it has to be a specific size canister. Why Parmesan cheese?
Well, specificity is the only way to get accurate data. You can't just tell a researcher, hey, go check the price of cheese.
Fair enough.
Is it cheddar? Is it some artisanal brie? By standardizing it to grated Parmesan, 8-ounce canister, you make sure the price difference is about the location, not the product.
I guess that makes sense. But then I see item 54, tennis balls.
Ah, yes, the tennis balls.
Why on earth is the economic health of a city tied to the price of a can of tennis balls?
It sounds funny, I know, but it's actually a brilliant proxy for disposable income and leisure time. It falls under miscellaneous goods, which is a huge category, like 33% of the whole index. It covers everything from vet services to bowling to shampoo. If a city can charge a premium for tennis balls, it suggests people there have enough time and money to actually play tennis.
I just have this mental image of an economist in a suit walking into a Walmart in Topeka, taking notes on a can of Wilson balls and nodding like, yes, the economy here is robust.
It's rigorous work. They also track the price of a two-piece fried chicken dinner,
Of course they do.
a thigh and a drumstick specifically.
Okay, so we have our basket, we have our Parmesan, our tennis balls, our mortgage rates. Let's look at the map. Where does your money go to die?
Well, if you want to see your paycheck just evaporate, you go straight to section two of the report. The undisputed champion of cost is, predictably, Manhattan.
I saw the number and I seriously thought it was a typo. The composite index is 238.9.
That's nearly 2.5 times the national average for everything.
But the housing number, 511.3.
Yeah, that is the one that really hurts.
Break that down for me. A housing index of 511. What does that actually mean for a person to live there?
Okay, so the national average home price in this survey is around $534,000. For that, you get a nice standard professional class home.
Right.
In Manhattan. An index of 511 means you are paying more than 5 times that for the equivalent standard of living.
So you're paying, what, over $2.5 million for that same house?
If you can even find it. More likely, you're not getting that house at all. You're paying that premium to live in a 2-bedroom apartment. That's the lifestyle penalty.
You're not just paying more, you're getting less.
So much less. Yeah. And it's not just New York. I see San Francisco at 163, San Jose at 183.9, and Honolulu, 183.8.
Wow.
Honolulu is fascinating because the drivers are different. Their housing is high, yeah, almost 300, but look at their groceries.
One at 31.6.
That's the paradise tax. Almost everything you eat has to be put on a ship or a plane to get there. You're basically paying for the jet fuel attached to your breakfast cereal.
So if you like cheap groceries, maybe stay off the islands. Okay, let's flip the script. If I want to live like a king on a middle manager salary, where am I going?
You are looking at the Midwest and the South.
Hmm?
The floor of the index is incredible. Take Decatur, Illinois. Their composite is right around 80.
So 20% cheaper overall.
Right. But look at their housing.
50.3.
That is nearly half the national average.
So let's do that math again. If I move from Manhattan with a housing index of 511 to Decatur at 50, my housing purchasing power increases by, what, 10 times?
Roughly, yeah. You go from struggling to pay rent on a studio to, you know, buying a historic mansion with a yard for the dog, maybe with cash left over.
And you see McAllen, Texas is similar composite, 80.9. Ponca City, Oklahoma at 82.9. These are the places where that silent bonus is huge.
But, and this is a big but, you have to ask, what are you buying?
Right.
The index measures price, not, you know, fun. Manhattan's housing is 511 because people want to be there. The demand drives the price.
That's a fair point. Cheap is only good if you actually want to live there.
Wee!
But let's make this tangible. Indices are abstract. Pizza is real.
The pizza index is always a crowd pleaser.
I saw some of these price comparisons. It blew my mind.
Yeah.
They tracked a generic thin crust cheese pizza, national average, $12.77.
That's about right.
In San Juan, Puerto Rico, $15.97. But in Anniston, Calhoun, Alabama, $10.98.
That's a $5 swing on a pizza.
But the one that really got me was the doctor visit. We all know healthcare in the U.S. is a nightmare. The national average for a GP visit in this data is about $154.
Okay.
In San Juan, Puerto Rico, $36.63.
$36?
I think I paid more than that for parking at my last checkup.
That is a staggering difference. And it highlights something crucial. Cost of living isn't a flat line. It's spiky. San Juan has expensive pizza, expensive electricity, but incredibly cheap healthcare.
Which brings us to the calculator case study. The report lays out this specific scenario, moving from Anniston, Alabama to San Juan, Puerto Rico. And frankly, the math is kind of rude.
It is a wake-up call. Let's walk through it. Say you're living in Anniston, you're earning $44,000 a year after taxes, you're comfortable, you decide to move to San Juan for the beaches.
Mm-hmm.
To maintain that exact same lifestyle, buying the same tennis balls, same apartment size, how much do you need to earn?
The calculator says you need $54,019.
That's a 23% raise just to tread water.
So if you don't get that raise, you've effectively taken a huge pay cut.
Exactly. But here is where we have to be smart about the data. Why is it 23% higher?
Looking at the breakdown, housing in San Juan is nearly 69% more expensive than Anniston. And utilities, whoa, 55% higher.
Electricity on an island is brutal. You're running AC in a tropical climate with imported fuel.
But then you have that healthcare category. It's almost 14% cheaper in San Juan.
So here's the nuance. If you're a healthy 25-year-old who needs a big apartment for a home office and you run the AC 24/7, San Juan is going to bankrupt you.
Right.
But if you're, say, retired, you live in a small condo, you use a fan, and you have chronic health issues that require a lot of doctor visits,
then San Juan might actually be cheaper for you than the index suggests.
Yeah.
Your personal basket is what matters.
Exactly.
Okay, so we've got the extremes, the Manhattan wallet crusher and the Decatur bargain basement and the complex trade-offs of a place like Puerto Rico. But what if I don't want to live in the extremes. I want a tech job. I want mountains, good food. But I don't want to pay Denver or San Francisco prices.
Now you're looking for the strategic sweet spot.
This is where that Sandoval Economic Alliance data comes in. They're looking at Sandoval County, New Mexico, specifically the Rio Rancho area, and they're pitching something I find really interesting, the efficiency city.
It's a really compelling narrative. Usually, when a city grows, it gets more expensive. That's like the rule of gravity in economics.
Yeah.
Denver grew, Denver got expensive, Austin grew.
Austin got very expensive.
Right.
Growth equals traffic and higher rents.
But look at the data for Sandoval. In 2023, their cost of living index was about 100.2, right at the national average.
Okay.
In this new 2025 data, it dropped to 93.0.
Wait, so while inflation was hitting everyone else, their relative cost of living actually went down.
By 7%. They are now significantly cheaper than the national average. And it's not because their economy tanked, it's because they optimized.
So let's compare them to the neighbors. If I'm a tech worker in the Southwest, I'm probably looking at what, Phoenix or Denver?
And Phoenix is sitting at 105.2. Denver has climbed all the way to 110.0.
Wow. So Denver is 10% above average and Sandoval is 7% below. That's a 17-point spread.
Let's put that in dollar terms using what they call salary arbitrage. This is the part that should perk up the ears of anyone listening.
I love that term, salary arbitrage. It sounds like something a hedge fund manager does, but you can do it with a moving van.
That's it, exactly. So, say you have a job offer for $100,000 in Denver. You live a good life. If you took a remote job or a local job in Sandoval County, you would only need about $84,500 to maintain that exact same standard of living.
Okay, but let's say I still manage to get that $100,000 salary.
Then you have roughly $15,500 of surplus purchasing power every single year.
That's not just pizza money. That's maxing out your 401k. That is a brand new car payment and insurance, fully covered.
Two incredible international vacations a year.
Just for changing your zip
That's
code.
just for changing your zip
But
code.
why is it cheaper? Is it just because there's nothing there?
No, and that's the efficiency part. The report points to utilities and housing. Sandoval's utility index is 84.4. Compare that to Phoenix at almost 106.
Well, Phoenix is trying to cool the desert. That takes a lot of energy.
Precisely. Sandoval has a high altitude desert climate, so cooler nights, less AC demand. That's just geographic luck. But the housing score of 92 versus Denver's 120, that's policy. That means they are actually building enough homes to keep up with demand. They're preventing the scarcity tax that just crushes a place like San Francisco.
And they have the jobs.
They call it the Sandoval premium. They have Intel, they have Electrosonics. It's a high-tech corridor, so you aren't trading your career for cheap rent. You're keeping the career and getting the cheap rent.
That really is the holy grail, isn't it? The brain drain usually goes to the big cities. But this suggests we might see a reversal.
I think we are already seeing it. If you're a smart professional, why would you struggle in a city where the housing index is 500 when you could live in an efficiency city where the index is 93, the mountains are right there, and you keep an extra 15% of your paycheck?
It feels like these efficiency cities are going to start poaching talent from the bloated giants. I mean, if Denver and Phoenix can't get their housing costs under control, they're basically writing a permission slip for their best workers to leave.
It's a competitive market. Cities compete for talent just like companies do. And right now, the cities that can offer a high quality of life without that lifestyle penalty are winning the math.
It challenges the ego, though. We're sort of conditioned to think big city equals big success.
It does. We like the prestige of the zip code, but the professional standard of this index assumes you want to own a home, buy steak, and go to the dentist.
Right, the actual life.
If those are your actual goals, not just the prestige, but the life, then geography is the biggest financial lever you can possibly pull.
So $150,000 salary in San Francisco might actually be a pay cut in lifestyle terms compared to $100,000 in Rio Rancho.
That is the reality. The big number on the offer letter is vanity. The purchasing power is sanity.
That's a bumper sticker right there.
Yeah.
Purchasing power is sanity.
I'll work on the merchandise.
So, for everyone listening, here's your homework.
Yeah.
Before you stress out about your next performance review, or before you accept that job offer that sounds too good to be true, look up the index.
Check the map.
You might find out you're paying a silent tax you didn't even know about. Or you might find your personal sweet spot is waiting for you in a place you've never even considered.
The data is out there. You just have to be brave enough to look.
Thanks for diving in with us. Go check the price of tennis balls in your neighborhood, and we'll see you on the next one.